In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, we are joined once again by the sexy Hadrian McQuaig for a frank discussion on sex, and if we do it when we're away from home. From travel tips and bathhouses to inventing a new multi-purpose travel sex kit, COL 286 starts now.
For all you watching the video later or listening to the podcast later, this is Jeff, and welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 286. Let's talk about sex. Another one of these, so if you are listening to this, feel free to also pop over and watch the video, because you never know what comes up on videos.
It's YouTube, people, not X2.
So I'm going to actually take a moment here to try to get the YouTube page link and do some posting of it. We're live! So we see if we can get some viewers. Whenever we go live, we'll make a little post about it on Facebook Google Plus and Bear Underground, so that you can join us. We usually have my question and answers app available, so you can ask questions. So watch for these on Sundays around like 12:30 Eastern, 8 Pacific, if I'm doing my math right, because you got 11, 10, 9 Pacific, maybe? I don't know, something like that. And of course, I got Gary here. Say hi, Gary.
Hello.
Unlike some of his videos that is taken with Vince, he actually has more of a smile instead of looking like, fuck you.
What? Oh, the gym selfie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he, when he started that, somehow I became the grumpy bear, like grumpy cat.
Well, every single one of those pictures, you're looking grumpy.
Well, now it's a, right, it's a running thing now. Like, it's like a character actor. Like, this is what I do. We work out at the gym, and he's all energetic and bubbly, you know, kind of like Tigger, and I'm like more Eeyore-ish, like, no.
Well, before I also mention something about your Cleveland trip, welcome Hadrian to the show.
Hi.
Or welcome back to the show, I should say.
So, always a good time.
So back to the Cleveland thing. Also, any of his videos where you appear during your Cleveland trip, you also look grumpy. So it's like you're always grumpy whenever you're with Vince.
That's not true. It's a good yin-yang balance, though. You know, like, well, like sex. You have a top and a bottom at certain points. You know, you need, you know, that kind of energy balance. So, I don't know. He's obsessed with shooting video right now. He does it all the time. I made fun of him last night. I was like, boy, you're just eating up that data plan on that cell phone of yours. So...
Mr. Rich Boy.
So yeah, it's been interesting.
All right. So today we're going to be talking about today's topic. Let's talk about sex. Is about not in your backyard. Sex while traveling. But before we get to that, we've had a bunch, a bit of feedback that we want to cover here. Let's see where we start. So we had a few things on YouTube. One week we were going to do a show, but then that kind of fell through for various reasons. And I just had a random act of cubbiness and just started recording our show, our hangout anyways. And Jim Metalhead said, Asman722, sexy as Bear Boss on streaming. Okay.
Well, I think if you pay attention to the spelling, Streamen, I think that's a website, like a webcam site.
Okay.
So
I don't remember us talking about streaming on the Random Mac of
Commission. No. He's bringing it up. I think because we were talking about people camming, I think that was the reference, is that the profile name, AZman722, is the person that they like watching on streaming. Streaming being the service or website. That's my guess. Oh. I don't know.
Yeah, but we were like talking about iPhones during that show. Because then on COL280, we got a couple things. Again, from Jim Metalhead, says, Asman722 is master at making me feel nasty and never felt so hot for a bear-type daddy. He's the man's man. And that probably made a little more sense, because I believe that is the Let's Talk About Sex, where we're talking about digital release.
True. Granted, it's in all caps, so they were yelling the whole time. But, you know.
Okay, so I did that wrong. But
No.
Okay. I'm not going to do it again, but I just did it wrong. Okay. On that same episode is Mad Jinx. It's Mad Jinx production said, Chatterbait, yeah, Gary, I totally agree with you. I'm straight, and I have been free on the site for ages now. All you need to do is get in the good books with some of the male/female models, and they absolutely love you, even if you're a gray. That doesn't give them profit. Hint, be nice to them, or you will get your stuff if you're patient with them a month or two. Constantly going to her page and talking with her makes you more interesting, and he will keep you around.
That sounds like it was as painful to listen to as it was for you to read.
Yes, especially straight. Also, it's your as in the possessive, not the you are.
Nobody said that people on the internet have good grammar.
Is that the new Hanson song? Straight.
straight.
I understand what he's saying. Basically, if you're polite to the people that are on cam, even if they are requesting/looking for tips via tokens, if you're nice and you have a conversation with them, most of the time they're very cool about it. They don't get really ignorant and are like, you know, banning you from their room or, you know.
You don't pay me anything. Go away.
Yeah.
You just reap the benefit of everybody who does pay, and they're still doing the performance. Yeah. As long as you're nice, it means that you help to create that nice atmosphere where people who do pay tokens will pop in and have a nice atmosphere in the chat and also get a nice peek at stuff. So, that was nice. Over on BearUnderground.net, Mumbly joined us in the Bear Underground group, Cubs Out Loud Entourage. Please pop over and join us in chat. We'd appreciate that. Gary, tell us what's going on Facebook.
We have quite a bit of people that have liked us on Facebook. We'll talk about that in another episode. But I have two people that reached out to me on Facebook, interestingly. I want to give a little recognition shout-out to both of them. Justin Bowman reached out and said, I believe you are the Gary that is a part of Cubs Out Loud podcast, and I have wanted to tell you for a few months now that I absolutely love the show. Love it, love it, love it.
Yay!
So,
That was the Gary of the Cubs Out Loud podcast.
Yes. So I do reply. Like, if people find me personally and message me, I do try to be polite and you know, reply and stuff. So, and then also, and I'm totally going to get his name wrong, even though we had a chat discussion about it. Peter Kyron Munn. He's an Aussie boy. He's from Australia. That was a horrible version of that. He's a very cute cub, and he said, Hi, Gary. I quite like Cubs Out Loud and think you're quite cute.
Aww.
I'm not putting the rest of the conversation in the chat that we had, but so suffice it to say, he's a very nice young man, and it was good to have a chat with him and stuff. So I wanted to give recognition, at least that way.
Yeah, everybody knows Gary's a little bit of a slut on conversations. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Right.
Well, you know, that's the feedback for the week. Let's go right into our topic. Let's talk about sex. Doing it away from home, sex in other cities, not in your backyard.
Ooh, I don't know what to say about this, I can tell. So basically, as a topic thought, this comes from people that I know that kind of create rules for themselves or within relationships that fun time, quote unquote, is not kind of at home or not in their neighborhood, sometimes their entire city. If they have a job that they're able to travel often for their job or take a vacation every couple of months, be it just a weekend getaway, they go to bear runs, they go to leather events, whatever that may be, that might be more the time frame in which they choose to do that. And so I thought it would be interesting to talk about that idea that you don't kind of do things at home and you specifically do things away from home and what that, why and what that means and how prevalent we think that is as a concept, you know, if we know of other people or not.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, well, I think it's one of those things where, for me, thinking that if there's the rule of only went away from home, it comes up in more with like bi relationships, or if you're just meaning like just you don't bring a boy home. Just a certain open relationships where we just don't want the, if you're going to have sex with somebody else, it's not in my house, and there's a relationship already there. Or sometimes it's just roommates. That's the best I can really come up with, because I've never really had anything like this, because I don't travel very much, so I haven't really had much experience myself on how that works.
Gary, what kind of rules have you ever had, or what situation are you in now? Do you have something like this, or have had something like this before?
I will admit this is, for 95 to 98% of my life, kind of a current standard.
Okay.
I'll explain, and I realize that this may blow up a little bit in my life, but here's the thing. The city that I live in is a very small city. It's like a big town. And the local community is a bit nebby. And they know each other's shit way too much for my taste. People at the bar have nothing better to do than talk about each other. And so I don't... And that's not 100%, but from my experience. And therefore, I just don't really want people knowing my business. I don't like the idea of people talking about who's been with who and that kind of thing. So for me personally, I don't really do a whole lot here at home, because I'll admit it, one, the opportunity, the individuals are limited. It's not a major metropolitan booming, you know, kind of a gay community scene, especially for the bear community. And two, I think people just want to know each other's business too much. That's kind of my take on it.
Okay. So what happens when you leave town?
Why do I feel like I'm on Oprah all of a sudden?
Well, this is the subject.
When I'm out of town, I feel very differently about it. Well, the big thing is usually when you're out of town, well, it's not kind of. I just realized I can't quite say that. What I want to say is you are the fresh meat wherever you end up going, unless you frequent that particular area. So if you go back to a particular place over and over again, like say you travel for work and you keep going to the same location, your newness wears off, for lack of a better way to say it.
That's fair.
But you have opportunities to meet other people in different locations, different places, and therefore have different experiences.
So you have you could be open at home, but you choose not to be, and you are open when you travel.
Correct. It's a personal preference.
Okay.
And I'm sure if someone wants to psychologically
break it down in your relationship.
What's that?
There's no actual rules built around it in your relationship.
No. Well, I'm not in a relationship, so.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Sorry. Well, me, myself, and I, the three of us, we try to get along as a triad.
In a hypothetical relationship. What about a previous relationship?
Boy, we are really making this about me. I have not been in long-term relationships, per se, and that not by my definition, and therefore the men that I've dated, we've gone through this challenge. I call it a challenge. I tell them right out from the very beginning when we date that I would like to have an open relationship, and that leads down to this conversation that swirls around the sinkhole, which is that they don't feel comfortable with that initially, and that we should establish a relationship and establish trust and honesty, which I don't take an issue with. But a lot of the time I see that as this defense mechanism in a conversation where it's kind of like, they don't like this, I guess, being put on the table right away. And to be fair, I don't say it like in the very first date, but I don't sugarcoat that and I don't hide it away. Because I know that I like men and I like a variety of men, and I certainly don't want to be in a relationship where I get accused of having a wandering eye. Do you know what I mean? It's just the way I came up in the bear culture. I learned about open relationships early. I see them as dynamic and fluid. I see them as healthy. I have also seen them as very unhealthy, and that's more about the psychology of the couple and the relationship. It's not so much about the openness, quote unquote, for me. So that being said, whenever I've dated, it's been closed because we're establishing something. So therefore, it's closed, period. Like, not only closed at home, but just closed everywhere.
And Jeff, have you ever been in a relationship like this?
Well, I've barely been in any relationship, honestly. So, I mean, anytime that I've really been in a relationship, I wouldn't say that was necessarily open or closed. It never came up, and it was more relatively a monogamous relationship, but there was never the idea of whether we were an open relationship or not. And being that I don't travel very much, that's not really one of the cases that ever really come up. So I suppose I'm just not experienced in that matter.
Okay. Well, I am in an open relationship, and it was something I established very early on, and all of my relationships have been open. I've never been in a closed relationship because I value my sanity, and I value my ability to be nice to other people, because if I was forced into a closed relationship with someone I was that attracted to, I would break their poor little heart, and that's knowing myself and my dick. I've been in situations where it was a don't play at home, go play away kind of thing. My previous relationship before Bailey was in Atlanta, and I lived in Atlanta for a number of years before I met this new person that I brought into Atlanta. And I was really concerned and a little paranoid that people were going to try to sleep with him and us to get back at me or something like that, because I'd made a lot of enemies there. And we had a rule of playing away. You know, if you're going to go play, make it with a small group of friends. Or, you know, when I would travel to Memphis or wherever I would travel for work, I would go play, and that was very effective. It was very fun, and it also gave me an opportunity to really, you know, stretch my legs out and be a slut. So yeah, I've been in this not in my backyard situation before.
And I would think that even some cases, and I kind of have a reverse of this type of situation, and one of my playmates right now is he moved away, but he comes back into town every once in a while. So whenever he comes back in town, he hits me up. So it's almost like, it's not like you get into town, you're a fresh meat. In this case, it's like, yeah, I experienced you, you're great, fantastic. So you're experienced meat.
And I do think that probably happens. I don't think that's an anomaly. I think when you move away from someplace and you have a chance to go back to visit, you want to go back for lack of a better reference, you want to go back to the old stomping ground. So you would go back to the bar that you used to hang out with, be it family, friends. I mean, we're coming up on the holiday season. So most definitely, you know, when it comes to Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, I see lots of folks that used to live here and have moved away. They've moved, you know, across state, across country, and they come back. So I would not be the least bit surprised if they had fun in the past, they want to have fun again. So I think that that's, I think that's parallel. It's kind of the inverse. Their new home is not here, therefore it's not in their backyard.
Exactly.
See, I've also had the urges where I've been hanging out with someone that I live where I live, like in San Diego, all the 619 Bears there. They would all hang out, and then we'd all go to TBRU at the same time. Like, the whole city would migrate to Bears, and we'd all go to TBRU or something like that, and we'd see each other. And it was like, and it's like you're in a different city, you're on vacation, all the stresses of everyday life are removed, and you see somebody, and you're like, hey, so maybe we should, now that we're, you know, got to this interesting time together, and we're all drinking and have a good time. And then all the 619 Bears have this, no, we live in the same city. We're not allowed to sleep together. We can sleep with each other in San Diego, but you can't travel and sleep with people from San Diego.
That doesn't make any sense.
I agree.
Wait, okay.
It's like, isn't it like, okay, so if you're going to sleep with them still, and you're all in the same place, but you also sleep with them there, and yeah, sure, you could probably get some fresh meat from some other part of the country at DBRU, but, you know, you've had a great time. Hey, bring the fresh meat in and enjoy some of the well-aged meat as well.
See, I think that too. I'm like, but it's somebody explained it as like you live with hamburgers, and then you go across the country, and it's like, ooh, chicken, a little stand that serves hamburgers. You're like, oh, I'm going to get the hamburger because I know that. They're like, no, no, you're in a different area. Go get the chicken. Go get the emu, whatever you want to eat. Get something else besides the what you're with the normal meat you get. So, yeah, but yeah, well-aged meat. I like that analogy too.
Yeah, and the nice thing is okay, so, yeah, we go party, have a nice big orgy in our home city. We're in another place. We're all together. Let's just do it again. Sure, it's a different place, but still, I mean, as long as you have two at least queen-size beds, or in the case of Bears, probably should be two king-size beds, but that's another matter altogether. You know, you've got room. You've got the space. Heck, if you've got the entire floor picked off, you could just have people travel between rooms. It makes it a little more convenient. You don't have to worry about, you know, the kitchen. There's going to be plenty of bathrooms, too, in case people need to shower and clean up nice and quick and everything. It actually becomes more convenient to do all this while you're away.
I'm stuck on what you said, Adrian.
What?
About the 619 thing. You went someplace I wasn't expecting.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, because you and I know we have our Venn diagram, we have some crossover.
Yeah, of course.
So I know some folks in San Diego that I know that you know. And I find it interesting that they're the inverse or the opposite of what we were discussing, which is what you're saying is they'll do stuff at home, but if they happen to be all in the same other location, not that they per se travel as a pack, mm-hmm. but if they're all
absolutely
together.
Do. The 619 Bear Mafia is a thing.
So if they all end up like in another place, then the rules change, which I find interesting. And there's something, this is the way I think. I think there's something deeply psychological about that. And to me, I'm not quite sure what it is. I almost want to say it's like trust or something strange. Because most of us, I think, live by the adage, the marketing campaign of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So it became a meme. It's kind of a mantra in some people's life. Like, you just don't discuss what happens. I worked at a gay campground resort that was clothing optional, and the running joke was what happens at camp stays at camp, or what happens on the mountain stays on the mountain. Like, you know, and there were plenty of people that got away to there that maybe didn't come with their partner. So
Just remember, though, there are those guys who are like, this one time at bear camp.
Well, right. No, that's totally true. There's a spectrum. There's always people who are willing to, like, you know, tell the stories, and there are those that won't. So I don't know. I just found that very interesting that they were kind of having this rule about.
So now here's the thing: is they can't have sex with each other. Yeah. They can have sex with other people.
That was 619 crossover.
Fresh meat. Yes. So, but maybe they
are self-aware of their own image. And by that I mean that they are considered a group or a pocket or a clique, whatever label someone might want to describe them by. And therefore, it's kind of self-interest to not perpetuate or, I don't know what I want to say, tarnish or whatever.
I definitely don't think it's that thought out. I think it's more about the variety of sex partners. It's more like that. It's definitely a, if you're away and you're on a trip, you need to go be a slut, stop sticking to what you know. Stop eating the bread and go eat the raisin bread.
Ew. Sorry, I don't like raisins in food. It's just a personal thing.
You're going to have fiber problems when you get older.
He's already old. Anyways.
Rude. You know what? Just because I had prune juice in my smoothie this morning, you little shit, doesn't mean...
Wow.
I just found it. A group of bears are called a sleuth.
A sleuth? So,
yeah, so it's the 619 Mafia is a sleuth of bears that travels together, apparently, and has sex, but only in their own hometown.
Well, yeah, you got to spread the genes. You got to, you know, propagate the species.
We Isn't have a little problem with that, though.
Interesting.
You can't try.
So, what do we think are the advantages and disadvantages of such an idea with this not in my backyard? Like, that you won't do things locally, but you'll do things wherever else.
Home harmony, less complication in the place where you try to maintain your regular routine. You know, it always kind of breaks up the day a little bit when your partner's like, "Hey, I'm gonna have such and such over," and me and Bailey, we won't have somebody over usually if the other one is home. Like if Bailey goes out to hang out with his friends or something like that, and I'm gonna stay home, I might have somebody over. But if I hear Bailey's kind of like, "Oh, I will cancel that in a heartbeat," because I don't want to interrupt the home life kind of thing. But there's the advantage of not interrupting that home life routine of this is the sacred area kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find that interesting. I think that might be a factor for people, that their personal space is very private.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in terms of that, I will own that I have had people over. Like I was saying, it's not a 100% rule, but it's pretty close. Because I think about that in terms of, you don't necessarily know this person. I mean, yeah, you might have chatted with them. You might have their name, maybe some contact information, be it a, you know, email, IM, phone number, something like that. But you really kind of don't usually know someone. And I'm thinking in terms of, you know, it's a trick. You know, this isn't necessarily, I'm not talking in terms of like, you know, friends with benefits type thing. And therefore, I think there is some caution, some care, you know, for concern that I think sometimes does kind of get thrown out the window. I just realized that, you know, we're talking about private home life, yet when you're away and you're staying in a hotel, for some reason, I think individuals don't quite see it the same way.
I see what you're saying about, you know, it's a private area and it is, you know, your home and your castle and that kind of stuff. Like whenever if I have somebody over, I won't take them upstairs to my room. I take them to the spare bedroom. That's just me, though. That's my particular preference because, I don't know, mine isn't a privacy issue. Mine is a worry about judgment. Because you go upstairs and you see my bed and you see my pillow and you can see the slobber stains on it. And you can see that I have all these glasses sitting next to the bed where I get water and I never take the glasses downstairs. You see the pile of crusty underwear in the corner. There's all this noise.
Some guys would actually think it's hot, though.
Well, there's all this other stuff you can see about my room that I really don't want you to see. As for the spare bedroom, is immaculate. It's clean. It's well put together. The spare bed is falling apart, but whatever. It's just it's a different space, and there's nothing to really pay attention to except for the well displayed pile of stuffed animals in the corner. But yeah, that's and then a hotel is the same thing. The hotel is immaculate. It's going to be perfect because the hotel staff have made sure.
Right.
And besides my stuff in a case, there's nothing to judge about this room besides, the grandma curtains, but those aren't mine. That belongs to the Motel 6.
Right. Well, and that's one of the reasons why a spare bedroom is great for when you're turning a trick, is that it is immaculate. It's all, the bed's already made. It's not like Sana has torn a hole in the comforter. Yeah, I'm talking about you. or something like that. It's going to be the perfect setup. So it's kind of wish that I had a two-bedroom apartment. So I'd have the one bedroom, the door would be closed, it would be all nice made in the bed, easy to get into and out of. You don't have to worry about a dresser in the way or anything like that. It's that perfect location to toss a guy on the bed and go at it. So, meanwhile, although I do have to say that my bed is a king size bed and is at the perfect height where you can easily, it's almost like a sling without a sling.
Also, has that advantage of if you make a big wet spot, you get to go to another bed to go to sleep.
Right. And you don't have to worry about changing the sheets or anything like that right away.
Putting down the rug.
Change the sheets if something does happen. It's just like, oh my god, the guy didn't clean out. Ugh. Mess up. Anyways, so the pains of it, and then at a hotel, you get a clean change of sheets, anyways.
Yeah.
So do we think there's any cons or any negatives to this? I mean, we just talked about stuff about, I think it was more on the positive side, that you get to keep an semblance of your home life, some sense of privacy. The other atmosphere is usually cleaner or less revealing, perhaps about your type of individual that you are. Although, to be fair, I don't know about the two of you, but I've been to some events, typically bear runs, and I've seen some hotel rooms, and they're destroyed. And it
that's not the fault of their hotel.
Because it's pretty bad. And all I keep thinking is, I get that this is not your home, but criminy sakes, would you? Anyways, I don't want to get on a soapbox.
No, I agree with you because whenever I go to a hotel, I try to keep things relatively neat. Okay, so the bed isn't always necessarily neat, but I don't really change much because this isn't my place. So when the housekeepers come into the room to clean up, I don't want them to have that much trouble to clean it up and make it even, look like no one was ever there to begin with. If they're going to be changing the sheets, sure, the bed's unmade or something like that, that's no big deal because they're going to change it anyways and they're going to have to tear it off. Might as well make it a little bit easier. So that's just a few things I think. I was in Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, so I know, be prepared and leave the site better than it was before is my model. So I don't see why anybody else would do that. And besides the fact, it's not my place, and I'm looking to be in a place that's going to be nice and neat anyways because I'm on vacation. I want to feel good about the place I am. I feel good in a clean hotel room. So I always try not to make that much of a mess at all. Isn't something I can easily clean up. If I was at a Dredge Fur bringing a guy into my room so we could have some fun, the bed's made. Okay, I'm done with my rant.
I don't know. I can't think of any real disadvantages to having someone over when you're away. I mean, there's the obvious connotations as a guy who was you know, regular to going seeing people at hotels, because I live in Orlando, a big tourist destination, and there's lots of guys that are like, hey, come over, I'm here for business, and I want to play buddy for the night. It's kind of nice to get to see the inside of all these hotels that you pass by all the time, but a lot of them really are cheating. They're straight up, oh, my boyfriend doesn't know about this. I only play when I'm away. My wife doesn't know. There's a lot of that, of course. There's the a lot of that. And then there's not just that. There's also the, oh, my boyfriend knows I play, but he doesn't know you're fucking me kind of thing. So there's also a mental state where people think, I'm on vacation, all caution to the wind, stick it in me bare kind of thing. There's some of that going on, too, where people are like, I'm in a different environment. I'm going to enjoy this as much as possible, and they go too far. Because it's a private area. You know, there's no risk of someone coming in. There's no hidden camera in the teddy bear in the corner. I don't have that.
So you think.
But there's no risk either of being caught besides, housekeeping coming in. They're hot. A little Consuela action. But no, those are some of the cons, is that, people think that just because they're outside of their environment that they can be a little crazy, and that can be a bad thing. The cheating aspect is bad. I mean, I don't know. There's also the lack of facilities as well when you're playing away from home, unless you're traveling with a shower shot that you want to carry around the tools and everything and go through the TSA with a fucking butt plug, or a butt cleaner dealy with the wrench and everything. Messing with hotel plumbing is not at the top of my list of things to do when I check into a hotel. So there's a disadvantage, lack of hygiene. Someone's going to say, come over, I'm bottoming, and you go in there and you look at the bathroom, and you're like, I don't see no butt cleaning stuff in there. So, and you're traveling and you're eating strange food in another state. You don't know what's going on down there.
True.
I think what we need is to create maybe. Actually, here's the thing that should be on the eventual COL store, is the gay travel survival kit, which includes everything you need as both top and a bottom, so as condoms, as lube, maybe places for a bottle of lube or something like that, so you can refill it, and appropriate ass cleaning thing. So it's a box probably about this big, maybe. Have a nice, just like this, the condom size square hole in like this styrofoam or something like that, that you can just put a pile of condoms on.
You can advertise in the box, no metal, no embarrassing questions from TSA.
There you go. See?
I don't know why, but I feel compelled to request that one of the features is a Lazy Susan base.
Lazy Susan base? Oh, so you grab it on the side, grab the lube, spin it, grab the condoms.
Gotcha. So it's probably like a round thing, or, well, I suppose it could be square. And it's that chamber which has, like, you can put the condoms in, and then there's, like, that slice off the side. So you, from the side, you just pull a condom up or something like that and then spin it around. And the lube is kind of like in a that kind of angled spice rack sort of thing, and you just pull it out. See, this is the lube I use, and this is the perfect shape and size for a lube bottle to me. So this could just be like slipped right in here, and then you go, and then you got your lube bottle, and you can put it right on back, and then it comes with a nice cover that goes right over it, and you just put it in your suitcase, spin it around, you've got your ass cleaning tools, etc.
And obviously it comes in different, materials, so, for the high end it would be real leather. But low end, it would probably be just, your base plastic.
Yeah, you would have a plastic one. You would have like aluminum one or something like that.
Yeah. Well, and you could also get the one with the chrome accents in case you really want something.
No, we have
comes in.
One.
It comes in three colors. It comes in three colors. There's silver, gold, and space gray.
I think those might be patented or trademarked slightly.
We can come up with different names, like Golden Shower and Ass Gray.
Ass Gray doesn't sound good.
Ass Gray.
Polar White. Or no, the Silver Daddy.
Silver Daddy, yes.
There you
Silver
go. Daddy.
Oh, we could do it by hair colors. So you got the Silver Daddy, you got the Brown Bear, you've got the No Soul.
No Soul, really? Gingers, really?
Yeah, it's a product red product.
Oh my goodness.
That's awesome.
See, people could get the No Soul and be able to fight AIDS in Africa.
So, we mostly talked about hotel room as a presumption. What about bathhouses in other cities?
So, this is, like, you're not talking about bathhouses in your own city. Like, if I went down to, God, why can't I remember what the place is down here in Austin? But go down to a place in your own city, would that could be considered not in my backyard?
It can be. I mean, it depends on the situation, I think. I know people in other cities who have memberships at bathhouses. Sorry, they have a membership at an all-male fitness facility.
Whatever.
Legitimately,
well, people do exercise.
Legitimately, one of them is a friend of mine, and he really does go to the gym there 5 days a week. Everyone makes fun of him that he's using the gym, but he does. He works out there. He also takes advantage of the hot tub and the outdoor pool and the shower space and, you know.
Other things?
And I fully
enjoy at these places, do you get to do your workouts nude or something?
No.
A bathhouse with a gym?
Not here in Florida, we have the same thing, and it's got a fully functional gym, and they do say you have to wear all the proper attire. You got to wear shoes, you got to wear socks, you got to wear, you know, right, something on your butt, all that stuff.
But I've owned, if I lived in a city that had a men's fitness spa, I probably would use that as my gym membership. Because the cost is not really all that different than a regular gym membership. So
you go there, you work out, you get laid, and go home.
You get two workouts.
And you get a shower after, yeah. Maybe a shower after both.
I don't know. I mean,
you work out. You meet the guy in the shower after your workout. You get laid. Then you take another shower again, just to kind of rinse off.
Bailey and I live about 3 miles from the local bathhouse, or Club Orlando, as it's called. And we don't drive past it a lot, but when we do, we like to drive through the parking lot just to kind of see what's going on. Look at the big dually truck and imagine what kind of daddy is riding in it. We look at the different license plates to see where people are visiting from, because of course it's Orlando. People drive here all the time. You see Virginia, California, Washington. You see all the different states. Really, it's a full house, and we really love seeing the stick figure families in the back of cars. That's especially delightful. And church stickers. I mean, you see the whole gamut of people that probably are not supposed to be in there and are. And we especially love it when a car is backed into a parking spot, like trying to hide the back of their car, like, and you're like, honey, you're in a bright orange Hyundai. Everybody knows your car. But yeah, we see a lot of that, and there's obviously a lot of straight people who go to bathhouses because it's that epic privacy and it's completely anonymous. And at the end of the session, you get to walk out the door like it never happened, besides what you're carrying inside you. Whatever you swallowed or had injected while you were there. But no, there is. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people.
It's just that protein shake, honey. I swear. Yes,
exactly. Why was your phone turned off for 6 hours? Why couldn't I track you?
The battery died.
There you go.
I forgot to charge it.
A lot of people, I'm sure, have not in my backyard policies about that. I'm sure that there are even, I mean, I know for a fact there are women out there that know about their men and their on the side play, and a lot of them say, just don't play in this city so nobody finds out. Go way out wherever. I'm sure a lot of Republican senators have that kind of policy.
Do that in D.C., not at home.
Do it at the airport, honey. Don't do it.
Watch your stance, sweetie.
Those kind of things exist. I mean, Bailey's. If I'm going to be home all weekend and Bailey wants to go play, and I'm not, you know, I'm like, man, long week, go do something else. He'll go to Club Orlando and play around. That's kind of a not in my backyard kind of thing. He could have somebody over, and I'd be like, cool, I'll go in the spare bedroom or something. You just play in the living room, but we try not to inconvenience each other like that because this is our shared space. So I guess that is a similar not in my backyard policy kind of thing.
Interesting. Yeah, the reason I brought up the bathhouse thing is I will own in my past, I used them for overnight stays, which some people think is incredibly insane because they think of it purely as a place you go to hook up. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's one aspect of it. But typically, a lot of them have different types of rooms. Mm-hmm. And if you're willing to pay extra, you can actually have a room that's a kind of more of a standard room.
Yeah.
That doesn't have a 1-inch foam mattress. Like, kind of like a super yoga pad that you would be sleeping on.
Yeah, in the early 2000s, I used to travel to San Jose a lot, San Jose, California, and there was a bathhouse there called the Water Garden, and it was, like, right outside the airport. So it was really awesome. Just you'd get to stay there. You get 12 hours to stay. I'm like, that's a night stay. Let's go.
Agreed. You would go, and the thing is, it's, in some ways, it's cheaper than a hotel room.
Yeah.
So you might pay the one-time membership fee. Could be roughly anywhere from, like, I think $8 to $12, depending. And then you pay the overnight or the 12-hour time frame, and that could be, you know, $20-$30, depending on what it is, if you have a room or whatever. And then I agree, and then you would stay. And the one thing I know people would say to me is, well, what about the noise? Because most of them have loud thumpa-thumpa music. Going all the time, and I'm like, you know what, there's this thing that man invented called earplugs, and they work amazingly. If you get a good quality one, they pretty much cancel out, you know, nearly 100% of the noise, so.
Yeah, I think the worst thing I ever experienced staying there, I've only did it like 3 or 4 times, was there was one time I got a very rude awakening when somebody was yelling at somebody else, and there was the very obvious stench of man butt in the air, and I'm like, ugh. Somebody just had a really bad experience. Like, get out of my room, you nasty fucker. I'm like, okay. That's the only negative I could really think of to apply to that.
Yeah, but
But I just went out to the steam room while the air cleared and got a blowjob, so it was all good.
When in doubt, blowjob.
That's right.
Adrian's like, I'm gonna go to a different part of the building and have some fun, and when I come back, this all better be resolved.
Perfect. Yeah, right? When I'm
done. Open the window, go get a blowjob, come back.
Interesting.
Makes sense to me.
So do you think, because Adrian, you live in Orlando, and as you've said, there's a fairly large amount of travel. It's a destination. It's an in-between spot for folks. Do you think that the not in my backyard is the principle that's being used when people are hooking up when they're away from home, meaning, like, kind of like we talked about, I'm thinking the answer is yes, but I'm asking the question, like, kind of like Vegas, that, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, like, that there really is this weird, and I say weird, mental break, like, all bets are off. Whether the relationship's open, whether or not their partner knows any of that kind of stuff.
I don't think it's anything unique to bears or unique to gay men or unique to humans even. It's something, an animal nature thing, that when you're taken out of your environment, suddenly more options become available because the routine is not established to maintain those rules. Take a dog, for instance. If you have a dog at home, the dog could be the most well-behaved thing ever. Suddenly you take him on a trip and he's like, ooh, look at that chair. I'm going to pee on it. You know, just because they're outside of their element, they're outside of the routine. Children do that too. You know, they're on vacation. Suddenly, they become insane little yell monsters. And you know, us as adults are no different than when we're taken out of our environment, suddenly more options come on the table. I'm sure that a man that thinks he's the most faithful, church-going fella in the world could end up in a bar in Las Vegas and some guy hits on him. Next thing you know, he's given a blowjob in the car garage. So, I mean, people just change when they're taken outside of the routine. It's just a normal animal nature thing. And, I mean, there are couples even. I know couples that are very monogamous. And then they go on trips, they go on bear events, and they're allowed to have three-ways all of a sudden, that kind of stuff. And sometimes that's not even planned. They just, the mood is right, the alcohol's there, everybody's having a good time. So bend over, honey.
Bend over, honey. You take the front, I'll take the back.
That's it.
So I love the sandwiches.
Since you brought up just now about bear runs, do you think that that's a given? That there's a kind of an accepted thought that a bear run automatically falls into this subject that we're discussing?
I would say yes.
The people who go to bear runs that are monogamous are probably having the least amount of fun at the bear event.
I don't know about that.
I'm going to say yeah. I mean, they may be having a lot of fun for themselves, but compared to the whole entire event, they are probably pretty low on the totem pole, and they are probably going to bed at 10:30.
And you also have to think about it. It's a bear event. These are a bunch of gay guys who are husky and hairy.
Yeah.
And they like guys who are husky and hairy, and of course a few chasers, etc.
We go there for attraction levels to different types.
Right.
Some guys go there to be looked at by chasers, some guys go there to meet chasers, some guys go there for chubs and bears and feeders. I mean, there's the whole gamut. But we go there based on a sexual aspect of ourselves that it can be expressed en masse without judgment, for the most part. Furries are different. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you go to a bear event just to see friends, that's great. But you could have done that outside. Have I tickled you, Jeff?
Apparently you did.
They're the last time. That was so funny. I think it was just the timing. Just the way it was said.
Fucking furries.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not laughing at furries or anything.
Of course, I understand. Yes,
furries are fine. They have their thing. It's understandable.
We all have. Come on.
Yeah. So, see, I like them fat and hairy. That's just me. You know.
Yeah.
Prefer some muscular, and I don't want them too fat or anything. You know, I got that range. And there's people who like people in fursuits, which I don't understand, but why do twinks not understand why I like the fat and hairy guys?
There's levels of fetishes, and there's all kinds of levels of not being able to understand that fetish. It's like a prism. If you turn it, you're not going to see another color. Sometimes it happens.
Don't forget, there's a difference between fetish and kink, but that's another show.
I agree. That's a different show, which I would like to do. Yeah, bear events. You know, bear events are a sexualized area. They are a sexual zone, and it is typically a lot of people that are friends and happen to know each other that come there to express their sexuality with other people of various types of, you know, many types, and going there not to participate in that does put you a little bit on the outside. So I don't know. Like I always maintain that there's all the religions of the world. And then there's the atheists. They are a non-religion. They do not participate in that. They don't apply to be a religion because they are not a religion. Same thing with asexuals. There's the whole range of sexualities. Asexuals don't apply to these sexual zones because they are asexual. They are a removal of that particular sexual type. There's no type here. And people who go to bear events that don't participate in sexuality qualify in that realm that you are going to a sexual zone intending to not participate in the sexuality. You are oil in water.
Well, you could also look at it, especially if it's monogamous. If it's a monogamous couple, they may participate in the sexual encounters. They just only do it with themselves.
That's perfectly fine. Some people do that. They go there to be seen and be seen. There's the attraction level they want to experience, but they're not going to cross into that carnal realm of physical contact. They're like, I'm glad you find me attractive. That turns me on. That's turning me on so much, I'm going to go fuck my husband right now. And that's amazing. But that's still sexual.
Yeah, and you could also go to the point of where, you know, and then comes the level. When you're out and about with your partner, what's the level? Maybe you go, the only thing you can really do is make out. You know, and that boosts it up again. In addition to somebody else just looking at you attractive, saying you're attractive or anything, you also make out with them because they're kind of attracted to you. The next thing you know, you're in your hotel room with your husband, you know, banging him away.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, Bailey and I do something like that. Like, if he goes and plays with somebody else, or I go play with somebody else, or he, you know, I travel and I play with somebody else, the first thing I'm going to do is pick up the phone and call him and say, hey, guess what I just did? And, hey, I have the camera hidden in the corner. I'm going to send you a video right now. Not that I do that. I don't do that. But, no, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, I will my sexuality is participated with my partner. If he goes to Club Orlando, he's going to go have all this fun. When he comes back and tells me, I'm going to be like grabbing my dick and getting hard. Like, yeah, tell me all about this. Tell me that Adrian, other people find what I find attractive.
I will say this, Adrian. If you make it to Austin and you come over and we have a 69 section, we can set up a camera and then send it to Bailey for you.
Woo! Okay.
Okay with that.
Wait. What is this sending video thing? Why would you just not live stream it?
He has a point there. But how do you live stream it to a single person? Otherwise, we would have to chatterbait it. Then I would have to go through the thing so that I could get tokens so I can make monies off of it. Say here is Adrian and I having a blowjob. If you like what you see, please donate tokens. We'll cash it out later.
See how I treat you, Adrian? You're nothing but a way to make money.
See, all I'm trying to do is make something that's private between Adrian and Bailey, although I'd probably keep my own copy for my own purposes.
Yeah, see, it starts out like this. Next thing you know, Jeff is my pimp.
I don't know about that. I'm really bad at pimping people out. I tried it before, and it didn't work very well.
Next thing I know, I'm working stop signs in Austin.
Mm-hmm. No, I'd probably keep you to myself. I'm like, no, hold on. Let me tie you to the bed. You're not going anywhere.
Great. So then it goes in this weird Stephen King misery kind of way.
Oh, wow.
No, I would not break his feet. You know.
Ugh.
I just have to learn nonce and such. And I might be able to make some more money because I make it do a live stream on Chatterbait and get tokens of me having my way with Adrian.
Well, what I was trying to say was we could do a private show on Chatterbait.
Subject.
We've totally gone far off the subject anyways. All I'm saying that is if he does something that's not in his backyard, it happens to be with me, he is welcome to take a video so we can share it with Bailey.
There we go.
Right.
Because I'm a nice guy, and, you know, I give permission, even though he hasn't asked. That would be another thing to say, hey, you know what my husband would really think would be hot is if I recorded this. Do you mind? Probably not many people would actually say yes to that, but you never know. Ask permission. That way you don't have to do the hitting camera.
Yeah, I know.
You make it seem like an ND camera or something?
Yeah, about two or three times I caught Adrian brought that up. So I'm starting to speculate.
Have I really brought it up that many times? Oh, my God, I'm giving myself away.
Uh-huh.
I have not.
Okay. You are so cute when you blush and you're embarrassed.
This sentence is false.
Okay, just to clarify, have you ever made a recording for Bailey with somebody else?
Yes.
Okay, and that other person gave you the permission?
Yes.
Okay. See, have that's ever, okay.
Have you ever without consent? I have nothing further, Your Honor.
or he's DC'ing because his picture is kind of frozen. Hello?
I've taken little clips and that kind of stuff, and people have looked at me holding the phone, and I'm like, I'm holding a phone, and the lens is pointed at you, and I'm like, they're looking at the camera, like, is it on? I'm like, what do you think?
Okay. So I got to ask you about this, and this does actually tie to the topic of what we were discussing. On X2, I have a thing for watching videos of certain topic areas, and one of them I find interesting is this people that play when they're away. They hook up in a hotel or whatever. But this is the part that gets me, though, and I got to ask you about this, Adrian, because you basically just said it. How do people not notice digital cameras or phones sitting in a room when you go to do this? Because the videos are posted as secret or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, like hidden cam style. But you could obviously see where it is. It's not hidden, quote unquote, like amongst the stuffed animals or whatever.
Most of those are completely fake. Absolutely are. And now that I think XTube and XHamster and all those have policies against hidden camera stuff that too. So no, those are usually fake. And I don't know. And in the day and age, people have a tendency to find videos of themselves out there, and people are recognized in these videos. And all it has takes is somebody where I say, "Hey, I saw you in this video on XTube," and then you've got a whole lawsuit on your hands, kind of thing.
So usually, if anything, it's a hidden camera because the camera is in a hidden spot, but the person already knows that the camera, either the camera's there or they're being recorded anyways.
Well, absolutely.
It's hidden. It's supposed to look like it's hidden. The person didn't know.
Anything that's professionally released is never hidden camera. I mean, that's just never going to happen. Like, even like those bait bus and bang bus and those kind of things where they supposedly leave the guy on the side of the road at the end, those are all fake. All of that kind of stuff is fake.
Mm-hmm. Game right.
I was asking because you were making the reference to like holding the camera and taking video and stuff, and I'm like, and you made it sound like they're doubting that you're really taking pictures and video recording. And I'm like, why else would you have it in your hand? Why else would the digital camera be sitting on the end table, pointed at the bed?
Now, I had a boss that I caught. He had hidden cameras around the office. Like, he had this mug that had a little camera on it. And I'm like, you can see the wire coming out of it going to the power source. What the fuck are you doing? And he had little books with hidden cameras. He had a koozie with he had all this weird stuff with hidden cameras on the house. I'm like, you're creepy. I used to like say stuff about him to the camera, which is,
So did you blow him in his office?
Huh? What?
I asked if you blew him in his office. If you
No, that was the other model's job.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I'm not naming names. I'm just gonna leave that sentence alone.
Well.
That totally spoke to the industry.
Yes. There are creepy old men in the industry. Don't work for them.
Gotcha.
It's called the casting couch.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. So I forgot where I was going to go with this. I totally got derailed by creepy bosses.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I find it interesting, like you said, that's something that people do. You're the first that I know of, but then again, I guess I haven't discussed this with my friends, who is this open with their partner, whether they're at home or away, you know what I mean, and describes it or, like, perhaps captures it on video or pictures or whatever and shares that type of stuff. I find that very interesting. It speaks to me highly about that type of a relationship. I guess I know more often the circle of people that I know, it's not that it's never discussed, but it's not that open. That's nice, dear. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, they know that they did something and then that's the end of it. There's not descriptions and you can't talk, I guess.
Yeah. No, I got to know all the gory details. That's me personally. I have to know what happened. What did you do? Who did you do it with? How much lube was used? I want to know the exact ounceage that was used. How many condoms? What kind of condoms did you pull out? Did you stick it further in? Did you ask? All that other kind of stuff. I want to know all those gory details because it turns me the fuck off.
So do you have like a little measuring cup or something so that they can make sure they know how, see, he knows how much the lube he is?
We have the spring-loaded pneumatic lube bottle that is precision. It shoots out an exact amount every time you push the button. So I know.
Okay. So he says it's like 3 pumps.
No.
Or 2? 1? Just 1 pump?
Okay.
I felt bad. I had this vision of poor Bailey going with a trick bag wherever he goes. And in that is a little, like, scale. And he puts the lube bottle on it right before he starts, and he puts it on at the end.
So he can compare, and so he makes sure he has the exact amount of lube amount.
What are you doing? Don't worry about it.
That's part of our product here. It is a part of it that's built in. So you got the lube bottle. You put it's there. Before, when you take it out, it has a reading, marks a reading of how much it weighed. When you put it back in, it reweighs it and gives you kind of like a little report thing on a little LED. It says before, after, or last weigh, new weigh. And you know, the last two weights of it, that way you can kind of calculate how much it was. Maybe it does some sort of conversion of how many milliliters, depending on what type of lube it is or something. You know, you can program it. It's you get an app for your iPhone.
I knew that was coming. I was waiting. I'm like, Apple will be introduced at some point. There will be an app, and it's Bluetooth connected automatically.
Yep.
Wait a minute. It actually has a Lightning dock on that device. It also, when you have the app running, it shows the time. And then when you put the phone into the thing, it actually starts a clock. So you know exactly how long that session actually took as well. How much lube was taken, because it's weighing the lube as you're taking it in and out.
See, you get some more options with this. If you're on your way bar to the hotel room, you can like pull the app out and say warm lube. And it starts warming the lube up for you in the lube.
Ooh, yes. Wait a minute. So it's not even like something where you can like take lube in and out. You can actually take the lube. When you put it in, it actually like fills. You can fill up a little pump, a lube pump in there. So instead of having this bottle, you actually just put the lube into the pump automatically. Yeah. So that it automatically can set it to warm the lube, and then you got the warm lube, and then as you're pumping it out, it kind of measures, so it can give you some statistics on how much lube you used.
That's too funny. You guys are busy like focusing on the measurements of the lube thing and the fact that it has a warmer, and I'm like, could we just get a Bluetooth speaker in this bitch?
So of course it's
thrown in the dock, and then automatically the speaker will pull from iTunes, and you go to your playlist, and you go to Brown Chicken Brown Cow Mix, and then.
Oh. No, see, the thing is.
And then
the miracle of this technology is when you hit start sex, it actually does an iTunes Genius mix of songs using iTunes Radio.
And it uses Find My Friends, so it can find your boyfriend and alert you if they come within a mile radius, so you've got time.
There you go. Well, one of the other parts, you know, Lazy Susan around, you know, where you're trying to do the maintenance, you know, the pre-fuck maintenance, you can also, you know, warm lube, warm bag.
There you go.
You're coloring out, you have nice warm water, and you make sure to fill that up beforehand, you know. And so the bag fills up, and then you go do your deed, do your thing, clean out. Yeah, maybe you have some reports on the – and you have some reports on there. It's like totally clear, not so clear.
Oh, wow.
And it gives you recommendations on how many more you may need to do. This is where Alan comes in.
Oh, no. I'm going to go ahead and say not in my back for this. Your butt has to be clean before you come over.
Yeah, but if you're going to go over somewhere, you have that kid as part of this kit.
I think that should be
enough. It's there available for emergencies.
I think it's an optional, right?
It's got four parts. You got the top part and you got the bottom part. The top part is the one that includes the lube, because usually the lube is being applied to the top and maybe a little to the bottom, but the bottom is usually being applied by the top. So you have to kind of, like, there's the top bottom part, there's the bottom part. So you got to factor this all in. So you got the lubes and the condoms. The lube is in a section which has heated. Okay, so we're going on a completely nerdly tangent.
Yeah, well, obviously, we also have to include a webcam. You know, we need a good high quality HD camera lens that gets installed. You know.
Oh yeah. And share with husband.
Yep.
And then it just streams the whole thing. Oh, wait a minute, but you're using your phone on top of it. So the phone's just kind of standing straight up or something and has a little movement thing that it can kind of, like, detect faces or something, or detect penises. I don't know. And
are we calling this kit the My Backyard Kit?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. But I think
the Cubs Out Loud, not in My Backyard Kit.
Maybe.
No, it's a COL travel kit.
There you go. It's not as limiting in scope. And I think we should also have a sleeve so that there's a compartment to put your fleshlight.
Just in case you can't have somebody over. And you still get your lube.
And since we're going to have a warming heating element in it, we need a drawer compartment so you can put a moist, like, washcloth. Before you start, you can stick it in there, and then by the time you're done, you have a nice, warm, wet washcloth.
To clean up with, yeah. Yeah, we definitely need to get on this. This is the future Cubs Out Loud store, or actually, we'll probably start a kid's Kickstarter.
Are you kidding me? Somebody's already probably, like, submitting the patent rights or whatever from this shit. And in, like, 2 years, we'll be like, that's our idea. We talked about it.
We have documentation.
Agreed.
Streamed live Google Hangout on November 9th, 2014. Trademark CWL Media. Even though that's not actually a company, that's just what I put in everything. But that's just...
Yes. Interesting. Cheers.
I think we've got enough of a tangent, so I think we're probably going to be wrapping up the show here. So let's, for those of you listening to the podcast, I'm going to play this. I'll tumble for you, I'll tumble for you, I'll tumble for you, I'll tumble. So going into I'll tumble for you, and that was my bad rendition because I can't play my sound effect through the thing. Mine is a little bit different of a Tumblr, because I just kind of, like, was scrolling through my Tumblr feed, and I got this whole bunch of thing of questions, of somebody answering questions. This question was, you have a day, just you and Bailey staying in bed, what would you do? So, I love this one. Hump, 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 hump. Hump, hump, hump. Zzz. Hump, hump, squirt, 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 squirt.
Really? Zzz.
Hello? Pizza? Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Extra large, X cheese, supreme no onions or olives, and an extra $10 tip so he brings up the stairs. The front door is open. Hump, hump. Hump, hump. Oh, hello, chubby pizza delivery guy. Hump, hump, hump. Nom, 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 nom. Squirt, squirt. Bye, Mr. Chubby Pizza Delivery Guy. Hump, hump, hump.
You missed something. You missed something.
What? I read that verbatim.
I said Chubby Pizza Delivery Boy to start with, and when he left, he was Chubby Pizza Delivery Man.
Oh.
Subtlety.
Hmm. But I didn't say it. I was reading it verbatim.
Was it really? I thought it said man and boy.
It does. Well,
it does say boy and man, but I thought I said that.
Nope. You said guy.
Okay.
That is too funny.
Yeah, that's my ideal better day.
This is my fantasy of Hadrian and Bailey.
My favorite part was the hump up, oh, hello, Mr. Chubby Pizza Delivery Boy. Notice, he didn't say goodbye at that point in time. He just went hump, 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 nom, 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 squirt, 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 squirt. Bye, Mr. Chubby Pizza Delivery Man. Hump, hump, hump. Yep. So.
And to clarify, you're humping when the pizza guy arrives, and you just don't really stop, quote unquote.
I like to put pride in my post, but I'd like to think you can almost hear the. Oh hi.
Well, here's also the thing is, I think there was probably another part missing of rip 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 of the chubby pizza delivery boy's clothes. Or unzip.
Yeah.
Zip. And then zip for backup as he leaves.
My favorite part is the delivery boy shows up, there's a bunch of humping, then there's eating, then there's squirting. Then he leaves, and then there's more humping, and then there's sleeping.
See, I'm a humper. In my sleep, I am unconsciously asleep, dead to the world, and I will grab Bailey and start humping him, or the pillow, or whatever I can find. I am a humper in my sleep, like, totally dead to the world. I have actually done some really awful things to Bailey in my sleep, sexually. Oh, no. Totally unaware. Like, the next day, we're at lunch, when Bailey will say, so let's talk about last night, and I'm, like, pale. I, like, oh, God.
What did I do? Poor Bailey. This is what happens when he marries a sex fiend.
I'm the one who has to live with this problem. He's a victim of it.
So I'm now adding
to my... some sympathy for the rapist.
I'm adding to my bucket list, have a nap with Hadrian.
That actually sounds pretty cool. I'll add that to mine, too.
Because I don't know, I think that's something I have to add to my list of qualities in a man that will hump me when he's sleeping, because, you know.
We like need a Cubs Out Loud where it's just all of us in a pile in the bed, just laying there, talking to the camera.
I don't know about that. I think that would be a little awkward.
Not naked, you know, just like a little cuddle bomb. Just a not a sexual.
Cuddle bomb?
What?
Bomb.
Okay. Anyways, Gary, what's your Tumblr pick?
It's called Public Display of Affection? Question mark. I couldn't help but repost this within about 5 seconds of seeing it because it's a little crazy. And since today's topic was about not in my backyard, this notably is not happening in someone's backyard. It's happening at a metro wait station, apparently, like at a bus depot or something of that sort. There are 5 gentlemen, 3 of which are watching the other two have fun, and notably, one of them is getting his ass eaten out. Have you seen the picture, Hadrian?
No, I don't think I have. Post it in the chat.
So, I also think that this might be over in the UK, based on the location and the weather. But I thought it was incredibly hot and crazy all at the same time, because that's not something I would expect to see.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, that picture could have been set up and taken within like 30 seconds. So I could easily see that being done. So they basically position everybody in their positions. Everybody's clothes, pants are up and everything. And the guy goes, 3, 2, 1. The photographer runs to the street. One guy pulls down his pants, bends over. The other guy kneels and starts eating ass. And you know, they get into the pose, snap, and then everybody goes back to normal. Totally see that.
Yeah.
They have the idea of the picture. They just have to find the location. Nobody's around. Okay, go. Snap. Probably like a series of shots to make sure they got it right. It was like...
I like how the guy who's bent over is up on his tippy toes.
And like a, yeah, get in there.
Yep.
Nice.
That's hot.
So you agree, Andrew?
Actually, look at the hand. The hand's a little blurry on the guy who's eating ass, so that was definitely a quickie.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's on my MacBook. I'm trying to look a little closer to it.
Just click on the image so it gets a little bit bigger.
The only thing I'm disappointed by is that the cubby ginger on the left side of the picture isn't involved. I'm like, really?
Yeah, there's a head right there in front of your crotch. Whip it out.
But yeah.
Well, actually, the guy bent over getting his ass eaten and the guy standing up are both gingers, and gingers aren't allowed to touch each other, or their soul-sucking ability loops for infinity.
Good point.
Wow. So, yeah.
You are so mean to redheads. Don't get me wrong. We love them.
I used to date a really evil redhead, so I'm allowed.
Okay.
Really? Interesting. So, yeah. So, this is my Tumblr pick. It's a public picture, quote, unquote. It's taken out in public, I guess is the reference, but... It made me laugh when I first saw it, and I was like, wow, that's completely unexpected. Reblog.
Speaking of redheads, one of the BlizzCon trailers actually has this guy, big husky guy, big red beard. He goes, we are so excited. And I'm like, I am so excited to pop into my bed so I can give you a nice blowjob and maybe flip you over and eat your ass and fall. But... anyways, moving on.
Nice.
Thanks. Link, this time. Gary, what do you got?
I realize it is now November and we have passed Halloween, but I was thinking about things that I like to watch. I'm a subscriber to Mary Hardo, who is a comedian, and she has a YouTube channel, and she's known for a series or kind of a series of YouTube stuff she's done called My Drunk Kitchen. And if you've never seen her, I absolutely love watching her. They're not all 100% like knock it out of the park funny, but they did one for Halloween where two of her good friends who are also comedians, Grace Helbig and Mamrie Hart, come over. And they apparently do the second version of My Drunk Pumpkin. Oh, this one's called My Drunk Pumpkin 2014. So they have... the three of them, and in three rounds, they decorate pumpkins while getting drunk. So it's fun, and I realize it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it makes me laugh. If you're interested at all, and this may not necessarily tickle your fancy, if you go on YouTube and you look for My Drunk Kitchen Birthday, it's like probably one of the best ever, and it's a crossover with her and another, for lack of a better reference, YouTube celebrity, Jenna Marbles. And they make a birthday cake and they get obliterated, wasted in the kitchen while doing it. And it's hysterical. And they make a mess out of the kitchen and themselves. And in fact, there's a third person I think that's in it with them, but, it's a lot of fun. So it's nothing really to do with bears, but it was funny. So I said, go watch it. And in other news, I guess I could have made it my link pick, but, if people have not seen, I posted it within the Cubs Out Loud group. Yet again, Daniel Franzese, who is known for his gay character in Mean Girls, he came out earlier this year. I have been on a campaign to tell the world that he is a bear. Yes, Hadrian's getting like... he's getting all hard about it. there was a picture taken with him and Doug Langway, the producer-director for Bear City and Bear City 2. So it is affirming, without a shadow of a doubt, that Daniel Franzese is a bear. He's a bear. He's one of our kids. And I fully support finding him and molesting the fuck out of him. Don't break him. Well, unless he's into that. But we don't know. So
we got quite a few hotties this year. We got him and we got Hodor this year, didn't we?
Hodor, yes.
He's a bear, but he looks like a bear. But he has never said he's part of the bear community. And he's in at least in our court, is being gay.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Isn't he a DJ too?
He's in Norway or something.
Yeah.
He's also a huge WoW player too.
Yes.
So. Oh, did we do what's going on?
No.
I think we skipped that. Because I can confirm last week's comment. We've killed Mythic Gary! I didn't get them out though.
Oh.
But we killed Mythic Gary the last weekend of we're going through Draenor. Well, we killed them last night, so it was great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think it was like the only the second time that I survived to the last phase of the fight. So I was excited, although I died in the middle of it. But that's another matter.
I have yet to have ever beat a boss, the final, you know, big world boss expansion boss. The actual expansion.
Like, just at all? Like, not even, like, you haven't killed Gary on LFR?
Well, I mean, everybody's killed somebody in LFR, but I mean, like, a real raid. LFR is not a real raid.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Did we kill Deathwing?
Yeah.
Oh. We did kill Deathwing, but everybody killed Deathwing because Cataclysm was too easy.
Now it is, at least. Especially after 6.0, but that's another matter altogether. In any case, where were we? Daniel Franzese. New goal, let's get him on the show.
Okay.
In person. Closer optional.
Oh, God.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Gary, baby steps here. Okay. So first we're gonna bring him to Austin so I can interview him in person. And then we'll send him to you for molestation in person.
Mm-hmm.
He could be on the call when I interview him.
Yeah, I can see how that interview is gonna go.
God. You know, I gotta wonder.
No. What?
I don't know. This is a little self-serving, and forgive me. It's rare I go into this moment as a porn star, but I don't know. I have met someone who's in the closet in Hollywood who said to me point blank, "I've masturbated to your porn," and I'm like, "Oh my God, that's amazing!" And I can never tell anybody. But I'm wondering if Mr. Franzese has ever masturbated to yours truly. Mm-hmm. A thought, just an idea.
I don't know. But it's never been in person. I think, though, I think we should start with baby steps, that just getting him on the show. even if he's like in person, it's over Skype or Google Hangout would be awesome too. But Daniel, our new target is Daniel Franzese. Excuse me while I go chat Doug Langway and see if he can hook me up. Did say.
Nice.
All right. Is that it? Have we done anything?
Do I get to talk about my
work? Oh, yeah. Okay. What's going on with you?
Well, you got to talk about WoW. You totally like went out of order on the show this time.
Anyways, what's going on, Gary?
So I pulled off a really big surprise. This past Friday, I took the Cubs and we went to Cleveland.
Ah!
And we were supposed to be going to a chili cook-off.
Mm.
mm-hmm.
What the Bear Club Arctos was having a chili cook-off, and it started at 8 o'clock, and so we went to Cleveland and we went ate at Melt Bar and Grill, which is a local mom and pop chain. Now they have several locations. It's all grilled cheese sandwiches, great food. We had an excellent dinner and then left, and we were going to the chili cook-off, and we went downtown, and it's quite comical because, you know, Vince and Rich are in the car with me, and blah, 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 we're talking, and I'm looking for a parking spot near a parking garage. And Vin says, oh, the bar must be nearby. We were here before to see Eddie Izzard this summer. And I said, I didn't say anything. And so I'm trying to, and luckily I get the last spot in an open lot, pay the money, we park the car, and I think that's when we get out, and Richie goes, isn't the bar like 3 miles away? Which, mind you, they've never been to before, but he must have already like mapped it and figured out that we're not really where the bar is. So I'm like, yeah. So we keep walking. Like, I don't really say anything. We walk up to the complex, and in Cleveland, it's called the Playhouse Square, and it's like 4 theaters in one building. So we're walking, and we end up joining the regular crowd. We get in the elevator. We go upstairs. And, of course, Vince is – I still can't believe I pulled this off. Vince was like, well, this is like when we came here this summer. And all I keep thinking is, how could you not realize we are not going to a chili cook-off? So we're walking with the crowd, and I turn and I say, we're going to be late to the chili cook-off. And both of them are like, what? And I'm like, we're not going there, not right now. And they're like, oh. And Vince is like, I think Vince says, what are we doing? And I was like, you'll see. So we walk through the building. We finally get up to the theater entrance. And the usher's there, and he's taking the tickets. I have all the tickets hidden inside my jacket pocket. So I pull them out, and he's scanning them with the little hand, you know, infrared. And the first one takes, and the second one doesn't. So we're doing this, like, weird, like, juggling act. I'm trying to take away the one that already was scanned so he doesn't try to scan it again. And he's scanning the second and the third, and he's struggling. And he yells out loud the name of the show for the crowd because there's this mass of people, and we're near 2 entrances to theaters, like right next to each other. So what he's doing is his job to make sure that the people walking in know what show this is. And I sort of panic because I hadn't told them yet, like, what we were seeing. So he yells it out loud, and I'm kind of like, so so we walk in, and anyways, he gets the tickets scanned, and we walk in, and then I hand the 2 tickets to the boys. So I hand it to Vince, and I hand it to Rich, and they both look at their tickets, and Vince is completely confused and bewildered, and Richie's like, oh my God, oh my God. And he like starts like doing this like little freak out. So the surprise is I took them to see the Alton Brown tour.
I hate you.
I knew I was going to get shit from a lot of people because I didn't tell anybody about this at all. So,
well, truth is you did tell me before, but.
Well, yeah, it was funny because I was possibly going to be in Texas for work right now. So I didn't know if I could really go to the show. And then this coming up very soon, I'm going to be in Cleveland doing the food show. So I knew I was going to get shit from my friends who, you know, are fans of his. So yeah, so we went in and we got, and I don't think it really hit them until we walked into the theater and you go to the seats and you see the stage and it's already set up and it says Alton Brown Tour and the props and all that stuff. And they were just like, so yeah. So I pulled off like the ultimate coup, totally like shocked them, and we got to see the show and we had a good time. And
air high five.
Yay.
A little high five.
So yeah. So I was super ecstatic. It was part of a birthday gift to myself, but I got to share it with the boys, and they really, really did enjoy it. And it was funny because they were like, and I kept saying, so we sit down and I was like, how could you not know? And how could you not figure it out? And how could, like, and they were like, ooh, we had no idea. And I was like, really? Like, wow. I thought it was going to be pretty obvious I was up to something. And then, so the show ran longer than I expected. It ran from 8 until 10:30. And I had like a 15-minute intermission. Then we left. We got in the car. Then we went to the bar where the chili cook-off was. Pretty much missed the chili cook-off. But we got to see some folks and hang out and have a drink and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Excellent.
So, and... Hadrian, I don't know if you're interested in Alton Brown or not, but he's coming to Orlando in February.
Oh?
Yes, on his tour, because my friend Drew, who lives in Orlando, saw the post on Facebook, because they were posting pictures of the ticket and the stage, and they were completely, like, freaking out, and I knew I was probably going to get shit. And sure enough, Drew is like, he's like, I'm jealous. Which was better than you bleepity bleep bleep bleep. Which is what I thought he was going to say to me. So then he's like, I'm going online. He's going to be in Orlando in February. I'm buying my ticket now. And I was like, wait. Because from my trip, I don't know if you knew, Hadrian, when I was down there for Pride, not Pride.
Tidal Wave?
Tidal Wave.
No, you were at Tidal Wave. You were at Gay Days.
Yeah, well, whatever. We did a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But when we were there in June, my Southwest flight home was kind of jacked up. So they gave me a voucher that is only good for a year. So I was thinking already, I was like, oh, well, I got to use it at some point. So I told Drew that I might be coming back down to Orlando to see the show.
So you're going
to
go see it a second time?
Maybe.
Hate you even more.
Well, depending on what it is, in February we're going to San Diego to visit old friends and scope out the area a little bit. So hopefully we'll be able to line that up.
Fortunately, you'll be in the area, so you'll be able to have sex with those 619 guys. Anyways, moving on.
Good call. You applied the rules we learned about earlier.
I moved away from San Diego just so I could have sex with people in San Diego.
Interesting.
So you could have sex with people in San Diego in San Diego.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to bite back in the ass. Pretty sure.
Hey, Drew,
I want to mention, just to kind of close off that whole conversation, when I lived in Key West, Key West had a similar set of rules, but the rules were that during the winter or during the summer, when no tourists come to Key West because it's the temperature of the sun, it's okay to have sex with other people who live in Key West. But during the tourist season, from about September to April or May, that's not sister season, as they call it, and it's not okay to have sex with locals. You have to have sex with tourists.
So because there's a lack of service during the hot months, you can mingle.
Yep.
And when the tourists have, you have to be welcoming to the tourists and have sex with them.
Yes. Everybody,
so it's really a hospitality sort of thing. And then it's just during those off months, it's more of like, you know, we need to do something.
Yep.
Okay. So that's understandable. Okay. With that, Hadrian, where can people find you?
HadrianM.com.
.com. Pretty simple there. You can find us over in CubsOutLoud.com. You can shoot us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Facebook at facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Join the Seawell Entourage Facebook group. We'd appreciate you there, and you can chat about whatever you want there. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Google Plus at google.com/plus cubsoutloud. Also, there's the Seawell Entourage community on Google Plus. You can also join us in bearunderground.net, join the Cubs Out Loud Entourage group there. We appreciate that. Join Mumbly there. You can also follow us on Tumblr at cubsoutloud.tumblr.com. I can speak really again. Please pop over to iTunes, give us a review, 5-star, 4-star, whatever. We'll bring you on the show, give you a shout-out. Find us also on StitcherRadio.net. Give us a thumbs up. We'd appreciate it there. Apparently, you can also do a review there. I don't know how you can do that. I really don't, because every time I try looking to see how to do that, I can't figure it out myself. But if you can review it. We'd appreciate it very much. You can find me anywhere on the internet. Just Box Set, Box Puppy, Box Cup, Box something or other.
And I can be pretty much found as GearBear73 most places. And some of you have been very successful, so, hey.
And come on, people. Gary's not the only cute one on the show. Take it out, everybody!
Ciao!
Bye, everybody.